Thank you all again. That sounds so good. And I always appreciate that welcome. Now let me gather us together around God's Word this day by drawing your attention to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And so may the Lord God add His grace and mercy to the reading of that word. I want you to see today some settings here. The Garden of Eden was mankind's first home. I don't want you to ever lose sight of the fact that the garden in Eden was the site of mankind's first home. That was to be their dwelling place. Now the setup there, as you know, is that man and woman had been created in perfection. And so sin had not entered the picture. And as God created this garden, and always remember that the garden was not Eden, okay? Eden was where the garden was located. Because earlier in that chapter, it says, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden. And so the garden there was to be mankind's home in that stage in which we found ourselves in that particular point in history. And I also want you to see that there were specific things that God wanted the man to do. Now, if you read this whole chapter, you'll see that everything that that man needed to sustain himself and his family was to be found in that garden. He didn't have to go down to Walmart. He didn't have to go to Lowe's. It was right there in that garden. The Lord had given him everything that he needed to sustain not only himself, but also his family. The Lord God had also given him instruction that the law at that particular time was every tree that God had put there was good for food, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not to eat of that tree because God said, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So then the other side of that law then was that if you were to refrain from eating this tree, in other words, if you were to live in obedience to God's law, then you would continue to enjoy the blessings that God had provided for you. And so that was the setting here that Adam was put in. Later, Eve was to come and be his helper. And so your thought for today is this: husbands, guard your homes and present them as a gift to the Lord. Husbands, guard your homes and present them as a gift to the Lord. Now, some of the things I'm going to be sharing with you today are applicable not only to husbands, but also to wives. But since this is Father's Day, my charge today is to husbands specifically, as it was given to Adam in that particular point in time, that he was to dress, well, in my version of the ESV, it says to work the garden and to keep it. In your particular translation, it may have the words dress and keep. But that first charge here is that God desires for fathers to work and keep the home. In Ephesians chapter 5, I love to share this passage. It's a favorite passage of mine. And I know you get tired of me referring to it. But guys, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own body. So you have Adam given here. He was given a charge to dress and keep, or to work and to keep the garden. Now, in that Ephesians passage, God specifically charges the husband of the house then to have that responsibility to be the keeper and the dresser or the work in there in the house. And we'll get into what that means in a little bit there. But Adam was given the law. He was given that promise there. If you refrain from being disobedient to me, you will enjoy the blessings of this home. So he had that law given to him. He was not ignorant of the promises that God had given. And God gave them to him, making it his responsibility to be sure those laws, that law was protected. And by protecting that law, he was also protecting that home from evil. Of course, we know what happened there, but the responsibility is Adam was given, or the main line is that Adam was given that responsibility. So, guys, what does it mean to work our homes? I grew up in an old farmhouse, fat lighter, like some of you may have. And when we moved out of that farmhouse, we actually stayed on that farm as a rental. It never belonged to us. And so when the landowner died, we had to move off. And when we moved out of that house, because we lived close by it, I can continue to walk back to it and just to look at it and be where I grew up. I still wish I could do that. But when I was going back to that old house, I was very surprised about how fast it just seemed to go down after we'd moved out of it. It's almost like that house was being revived on the energy that our family gave to it. But when we moved out of it, it was just stayed empty and it just started to deteriorate. If you have something setting in your yard and you never go to it and take care of it, what is it going to do? It's going to deteriorate, isn't it? We know that from practical life that anything that we neglect will go down. It's not going to get better on its own. Any material thing that we have that just sets out there underneath the weather and the elements, it is not protected, it is not repaired, it is not kept in good shape, all of that is going to eventually get into disrepair. Some things, because of the way that they're made, can withstand the elements longer, but everything will start to degenerate if it's not maintained. Crops won't reach their potential unless they are tended, unless they are groomed and cultivated and fertilized and water added to them. So every gardener knows that they cannot reach the full potential of that garden without putting work and effort into it. And so that original word there for work or dress, as the New King James and King James Version has, means to work it, to serve it, to till, to cultivate. There was a sense there of working, putting in an effort to seek to improve it or to develop it. I always like to remind our young marrieds that when you go back to that Ephesians 5 passage where it says, you know, that Christ was to present the church to his Father in splendor, without spot or wrinkle and any such thing, holy and without blemish. I always ask the guy, and you've heard me say this before, have you ever thought about what it means to seek your wife's glory? And of course they said, no, I've never thought about that. I've never, so far, no one has come back to me yet and said, yeah, I think about that all the time, what it means to seek my wife's glory. And so this is what it means to seek her glory, is that you put in the effort that it needs to encourage her, to remind her of the love that you have for her, to take care of her, to provide for her, to give to her the things that she needs so that she can reach her full potential. And also to your children, that same thing. And so whether you have children in your household or not, that relationship between husband and wife is to remain biblically, according to Ephesians 5, where that husband tills the soil there. He cultivates. He seeks to improve. Not in a way that we think of, you know, when you're telling a joke, but that we seek the best things for our wife. That she knows that through our efforts and through our love, she understands that you guys have her back. And why is that? Again, as I remind our young marrieds when they're going to, through premarital counseling, your relationship, your husband and wife relationship, is the most important relationship in that home. A lot of people say, my kids are my world. Well, they might be your world, but you better start putting your husband in that world, or that world will be deteriorating. Remember the effort that you put in? If you just neglect something, that relationship will go south. And that relationship is what anchors that home. Guys, always remember the love that you have for your wife is what anchors that home. It's what provides the platform for your children to launch out into the world with stability and security. How you treat your wife tells your daughters, this is the type of man you should seek out. How you treat your wife tells your sons, this is how a man should treat his wife when you get married. And if you are ridiculing your wife, if you are not lifting her up, if you are not seeking her glory, then you are setting a bad example for your children. And so this is part of the work there that we put in as husbands and fathers to the care of that family. A lot of fathers have a tendency, and you know, our school systems, you know, when they started out, there was, you know, we send our kids to school because all of us don't understand calculus and algebra and chemistry and all of those kind of things. And so we have teachers that our tax dollars support, and our kids are educated in those kinds of things. And so I know and understand that. So I want to set that up with what I'm getting ready to say. Don't depend upon someone else to teach your children. Okay? I understand it's necessary to do that, okay? I'm acknowledging that. But don't just leave them to the care of others. Be involved. We're not all teachers. As I said, I would not even attempt to teach calculus to my children. I never did get the F of X thing. Okay? And so I would not even attempt that. But there are people who understand those things and people who are willing to teach children those things, and so I trust them with that. But be involved in their education. I read somewhere this past week that over 18 million kids in this country, over 18 million, are growing up in a home without a father. And the church has been preaching this for a long time, but it seems like the country is finally coming along with the understanding that a fatherless home is a handicap to our children. Guys, that is the role that you play in the lives of your home, in the lives of your children, by being involved in their education. How do you be involved in their education? You care about it. You talk to them about it. You encourage them in it. If you can teach them 2 + 2, then you do that. But in those other areas where you say, well, I don't know what any of that means, then you can still encourage them. You can still show interest. You can still be that steadying influence in their lives. Don't just send mama to the meeting, okay? Dads, you take a part in it. You show that child you are interested. You show that child that you care about what's going on there. You take a stand in that child's life. That's how we take an interest in the lives of our children, especially in those areas where we know that our knowledge and intellect is limited. That's why I say we can't all be teachers. And so they say, well, I can't teach my children Sunday school. Okay, I understand that too. But each of us are capable of praying to God that we can be the type of husband, father in our home to be a leader there. Ask God to help us be able to recognize evil. What happened in Adam and Eve's case is that evil came into their home and they did not recognize it. they listened to evil, and evil convinced them that they were going to benefit from their disobedience. And so evil came in a beautiful way. Evil came in a beautiful way, and that home did not recognize evil for what it was. And so fathers, pray that God will give you the ability that you need to recognize evil for what it is, and help you to see evil for what it is. Fathers, pray that God will give you the ability to stand before your family each day as a role model, to be that type of model that your children need to see, that will speak God's love and wisdom into their hearts. You don't have to be a seminary-educated person to speak God's love and wisdom into the hearts and minds of your children and into your wife. You can be the man of God that we're all called to be. And moms, you can hear this too. Husbands and wives, if your home has no children, you can hear this too. You can stand for God by being the child of God that God would have us to be. And God has promised to give to us all that we need to make us into that man of God, that child of God that we need to be, so that we can be an encouragement and a role model for each other. What does it mean to keep our homes? Well, it doesn't mean like housekeeping. That original word translated keep means to watch over, to protect, or to place a hedge around. Think of keeping sheep. Think of tending to livestock. It's easy, guys, for us to see how we can protect our home from physical danger. There it is. And so we stand between that physical danger and our families. We are that barrier. We are that hedge of protection. And I think every guy in here would be willing to go answer that bump in the night when we hear it. And we're the first feet to hit the floor when that strange noise happens to go check it out. We're usually the last feet on the floor when the baby's crying, all right? But we're the first feet on the floor when that strange noise, that bump in the night happens. And so we can see that. We understand that. It makes sense to us. Where we struggle is when the deception of sin wants to creep in, and we have a hard time distinguishing that danger to our families. And why is that? Because we have a hard time seeing the sin, the evil that's hidden in us. Ephesians 6, the passage I was going to preach on today, it talks about putting on the armor of God. And it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, not just part of it. And it talks about letting every part of us be covered with this armor. And I won't get into all of those details in the time we have left. But when we put on the armor of God, what we're actually doing is putting on Christ. And so as we put on Christ, we put on all of that that He has promised to give us as His people. That will enable us then to become that to have that spiritual discernment that we need to have. Not only in the evil that is out there and wants to filter its way into our homes. And how does it come in? Influence of peers. It comes in friendships that our children may have. Regretfully, it's coming in our schools today as they put all of this in front of our children that children should not have put in front of them in such early ages. And so all of these things that want to seep into our homes. But what the most important thing is, guys, if we are going to be a tender of our home, a keeper of our home, we need first and foremost to ask God to help us keep our own hearts pure. And that's what it means to put on Christ, to have our hearts surrendered to His headship, to His leadership, to His guiding hand, to the Spirit that is promised to all of the children of God to come in and be that guiding force in our lives. So to keep our homes, guys, starts with the keeping of our own hearts. Because when our own hearts want to go astray, when our own hearts start deceiving us, then we cannot be the guardians of our homes that we need to be. Because as Scripture reminds us, our own hearts can be deceitful. This Disneyland type of fantasy fairy tale, you know, follow your heart and you'll always find truth. That's according to Scripture. That's not biblical. It says that a heart is deceitful among all else, and who can trust it? Because the heart seeks what's best for me. And what's best for me may not be best for my family. What's best for me may not be the best for my wife. What's best for me may not be what God wants me to be. Or what I think is best for me, I should have been saying. What I think is best for me may not be what God sees as being the best for me. And so pray that God will give you the guidance that you need to see sin for what it is and how it is. But let it start in our own hearts. As we shared with the Sunday school class this morning, be like that psalmist. God, search me and try me. Search my heart. See if there be any evil way found in me. Be man and woman enough to say that prayer, that God will show you what's in your heart, that God will show you the person that you are. Not the person that you show to the world, but the person that you are. Because the journey of faith gets stronger when we become strong enough through grace to ask God to show us who we are. Because in showing us who we are, identifying that problem. How do we fix something? By finding out what's causing the problem, right? Any guy knows that. We know that something doesn't work, something doesn't run. Why isn't it doing that? And so once we identify the problem, then we can figure out how to make it better. And so it's the same thing within our hearts, folks. We have to identify the problem. So pray that God will give us the strength that we need to pray those kinds of prayers, that we'll be guided in all of that. And then finally, just like in that Garden of Eden, the Spirit of God dwelt there. Why was mankind tossed out of the garden after sin came in? Because God and sin do not mix. So God was at peace with us when we were in the garden. And today His presence dwells within the hearts of all of those who call Him as Savior. And so men, you bring the presence of God into your home every time you enter it, by the presence of God being in you and with you. And so when you come into that home, you bring the presence of God with you. When you leave that home in the morning and go out to work, you take the presence of God with you to that workplace. When you leave your home and you go out into the fields or lakes or wherever you go for your recreation, or you go into the grocery stores or the retail stores or wherever you go to purchase your goods and your supplies, the Spirit of God goes with you. You are a living, breathing, walking billboard for God as His child. And so guys, what does that billboard say? What does that billboard say? What does it say when you come home to your children? What does it say when you go to your workplace? What does it say when you're walking around in the woods or when you're with your buds out in the boats or the hunting club? What does it say about God when you fellowship with your family, when you teach your children, when you spend time with them? What does it say about God and how you say, how you talk, how you live, how you think? What is that billboard saying? Is it proclaiming the God of Scripture? Or is it proclaiming the God of our own making? And so again, that time of prayer, that time of allowing God to seek out those things in our lives that He wants us to overcome, very beneficial if we're going to be leaders of the home. And moms and wives, that's something that all of us can hear there. Folks, men, fathers, we are to guard against the attack of evil within our homes. That charge was given to Adam as our first example, and that charge now comes down to us. If we're going to keep God's truth needs to be in us. If we're going to be the men of God that we're called to be, then we need to encourage, we need to keep and tend and work and cultivate, seek to improve, and let that improvement begin inside of each of us. So that by addressing the needs of sin eradication within our own lives, we're then better able to see what needs to happen in our homes and in the lives of our children. But be an encourager. Be the image of God in their lives. Be that father that God created us to be. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day seeking that you will help us to be not only fathers, but parents, wives, husbands, who watch over each other, who seek to encourage each other, who seek your good and your blessing. May we be your image, Father. May we have the strength of faith that we need to look inward and to address those needs, that you will help us to overcome those needs as you have promised. Make that a prayer in each of our lives as we seek to be the people of God that you would have us to be. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Closing hymn today is hymn number 404.